Success isn't given, it's earned. And earning it means becoming the person who deserves it. The bottom line is where we cut through the chaos to simplify success, uncovering the strategies, mindset, and resilience it takes to win. Real stories, expert insights, and practical tools. Because the only way to the top is by putting in the work. This is The Bottom Line.
Welcome to The Bottom Line. I'm your host, Ryan Herpin, and on this show, we like to cut through the chaos to simplify what does it take to be successful. Now, many talented professionals, business owners, and leaders work incredibly hard, yet still struggle to gain recognition, build influence, or communicate their value effectively. Often the problem isn't a lack of expertise, it's a lack of clarity. So today's guest is someone I am over the top excited to introduce, Wayne Adam Greer, founder and chief clarity strategist of The Authority Edge. Through speaking, coaching, workshops, and live experiences like Clarity Lab, Wayne helps people simplify their message, communicate with confidence, and become known for the difference they actually make. His philosophy is simple but extremely powerful. Not louder, clearer. Wayne, welcome to The Bottom Line. It is such a pleasure to have you on the show today.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure. I've been looking forward to this.
Likewise. You know, this is something, as I've had the privilege to get to know Wayne, I would say from the first interaction, it was very clear he's somebody that I've got to get in front of our audience and to really kind of dig into his brain because, goodness, the amount of experience and knowledge is incredible. So as we begin, I want every viewer to ask themselves one question. If someone asked what matters, really what makes you different, rather, could you explain it clearly in 30 seconds or less? Now, I can tell you personally, this was a really hard one for me for a very long time. So in this first segment, we're exploring why so many capable people struggle to communicate their value and how clarity creates opportunity. So Wayne, I'm gonna jump right in with a hard hitter, big question, kind of dig into that beautiful brain of yours. So really just to kick this off, why do so many talented people struggle to communicate what they do effectively?
Well, honestly, it's a curse of knowledge. You know, we just know too much. And so we just start rambling. We try to think we got to put all of our pedigree out there. Hey, who are you? And here it is. And then we get lost, tongue tied, insecure as soon as we start rambling and we start getting nervous. So it's just learning to what do I do? Who do I serve? And how does it help? Once we get that down, it's easy to communicate. But yet, it starts by knowing who you are, you know, yourself.
So it's that confidence is a major part of it. And confidence, I think, comes a lot from identity, right? You know, I think it's Alex Harmozzi said something that I find to be absurdly powerful, and I'm never going to forget it. And to put it simply, he says, confidence is the result of evidence. So don't work on building confidence, work on building evidence, because confidence is automatic, right? But I think confidence is a big part of identity, right? When you are getting results, your identity breeds that confidence. But, you know, as I've gotten to know you, I'm curious about something. You've mentioned clarity crisis to me before, and I would like you to kind of dive into what does it mean when you're talking about clarity crisis?
Well, the first thing I just want to touch on is that the difference between arrogance and clarity, a lot of people struggle too, is that's where that crisis comes. They're afraid I'm sounding arrogant, so they hide. But it really, we have to know who we are, and that not who people have told us, not who our upbringing told us we were, but who are we? And so it really matters what lives in your heart, what is the thing that you believe the world needs to hear, and then being bold with that, stepping out and just explaining that in a matter that communicates, not just educating is in there too, but people need to understand it. When you get it done, they should be able to, oh, I get it. And if they can't, then they're moving on. And so that's where that crisis comes in. We think we're saying what needs to be said, but the listener's not really hearing what we need to be saying.
You know, just because we say it in a way that we think is simple doesn't mean someone understands it. And I find that to be interesting. And you and I have had an opportunity to sit down and talk about, you know, the Bible and God and Jesus and stuff. And one thing I like to bring up all the time when it comes to clarity and messaging is like the parables, right? A lot of parables were said about the same things just in different ways because Well, different people had to hear it a different way, but you know, something, you know, not louder, clear, right? That concept, it makes me think, why is clarity more important than visibility?
Yeah, well, that whole not louder, clear idea, what is the saying? The squeaky wheel gets the oil. You know, we've been in a culture, our whole environment says, be loud, be out there, show up on stage, you know, command the audience. But what does that do? I mean, honestly, for me, when I get people in my presence like that, I just get turned off. You know, I usually just quit listening to what they're saying. It's not out of judgment. It's just, I just feel that, wow, man, you're bulldozing and the crowd doesn't need it. So learning to read the room is a big thing too. But if you start to talk and everybody's kind of looking around and they're bored, they're glazing over, that's your cue. Shut up.
You know, it's so funny that you say that. One of the biggest challenges I've learned when doing, you know, public speaking and stuff is I do really well in one-to-ones and in smaller groups, or at least in places where I can see the audience, because that the body language, the you know, the nonverbal cues and things, it gives me, it's intelligent communication. You know, the nonverbal cues and things that you can pick up on that really kind of tell you, are you going the right direction? Are you making a shift? You know, it helps with the clarity, because, you know, the concept of just because I'm loud and out there and in front that you're just going to automatically understand the value I'm trying to give you. No, it's let me make sure that it's hitting home. If I don't see that it's clicking, I've got to shake things up, got to change it, got to deliver it different. You know, there's so many communications coaches out there that talk about a few major things, like, you know, the strategic pause, the changing the pace of the conversation between what's really important and what's really not that important. There's so many strategies that get people to really hone in and absorb what's being said, but I think it's masked a lot by this identity of just because I'm here or I'm big, you're just gonna pick up on what I'm saying. Do you see that a lot? Is that something you recognize in professionals?
Yeah, and even in my own life, you know, I'm tall, I'm big, and when I show up, I've had to battle my whole life to not make that look like I'm showing up, and it could be intimidating. So I've had to learn to balance that so that I invite people to listen. If I'm not earning that right to be heard, then nothing I say matters from that point forward. And so it's not getting up there and just regurgitating your whole, you know, pedigree, and this is, you know, blah, 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 and making it sound impressive. People need to feel that they can approach you, that they can trust you, and feel like you have something to say, not just a sales pitch, something to actually say, something that's going to be of value to them. You want them to hear it and go, I'd really like to hear more about that. You want to touch something in their own situation. And if you don't touch that, then they glaze over and move on.
That's a really fair point. And on this note, I'm actually kind of a little bit curious on your opinion of something that I'm always trying to look for. You know, what are the biggest communication mistakes professionals make when they try to describe themselves or their business?
Well, again, I think we think it's our moment to shine, and here's my diplomas and I'm this and I've done this and I've been over the world and here's my 600 books. And we try too much to kind of almost brag a little bit because we think that's what establishes our authority. And there's definitely value to that. Having a book, you know, having a history, a track record matters. There's no doubt about that. But it's got to be more than just I'm visually impressive. I'm loud and I'm that works in some situations, but it won't work for a lifetime audience. It may work in a rally, get guys, you know, pumped up. You go to a men's rally, for example, and you know we want to hear that yeah, and we leave all fired up. But a week later, are we doing anything with what we heard? So in the moment, it feels great. It excites a crowd. It excites ourselves. But it's really not leaving anything that they can grab onto and run with.
So, you know, I can feel the passion when you talk about this. And that leads me to one of my favorite questions I could ever ask you is, what about clarity made you so passionate about this? What fulfilling aspect do you get from helping people really create clarity in their message?
Oh man, that's a huge, I could spend the rest of the show. There's, I it thrills me when I see a light turn on, when I see someone, because I don't really care what it is you do. I don't care what your space is. Homemaker, Sunday school teacher, business, it doesn't really matter what it is. You have something of value that the world needs, every single one of us. And so when I see that register and their light goes on and they get excited now, from the Clarity Lab, that's really where the focus is letting people talk. It's a very interactive space, but when I see people get it, that aha moment, from that point forward, they can sell themselves to any crowd. So it doesn't really matter what your product is, so to speak. It's who are you, and can you impact life around you? When that clicks and that everything starts firing on all eight cylinders, it's beautiful. I just love it.
It's like that moment when you see the messenger become the message. It's like when you see the person who's operating become the product itself. You know, there is a lot of power to that, and it's something that I think does strike us deeply, because we see there's real value and impact in somebody's life when they can be that passionate and clear about what it is they're trying to accomplish. So to our audience, clarity isn't just about communication. It's about understanding who you are, what you do, and why it really matters. So we'll be right back to discuss authority, influence, and how people, become known for the value they actually create. So grab some coffee, stretch out, grab a pen and pad, do whatever it is you gotta do. We'll be right back on The Bottom Line. Welcome back to The Bottom Line. Again, I'm your host, Ryan Herpin, and on this show, we like to cut through the chaos, simplify what does it really take to be successful in any given thing. But stay with us here, right? In a world filled with noise and constant self-promotion, today's conversations often offer a refreshing perspective on how true influence is built. And I'm still here with Wayne Adam Greer, someone that I respect highly and someone who's very, very competent and capable when it comes to helping leaders discover and create clarity in their message. So many people believe authority comes from being louder, posting more, or constantly seeking attention. Yet some of the most respected leaders build influence through clarity, consistency, and trust. So Wayne, it is such a pleasure to have you here. Thank you for being on the show.
Oh, I'm loving it. I'm glad to be here.
Now, just like, our first segment, I want to dive right in with some important questions. My goal is for our audience to get as much wisdom and expertise as they can out of you and to see if that can take them a little bit further. And hopefully they can find you in the process and get your help. But to really launch this segment, what is the difference between attention and authority?
Well, first, real quick, just a leader to me is we're all leaders in some fashion. So I want people to understand that, I'm not a leader and they may not listen in. They may not think they have. No, you're a leader. You're making impact somewhere in your space. So that's who I always try to speak to. But the difference between attention and authority is visibility. Attention is visibility, but authority is trust. If people don't trust you, we go back to that whole being loud thing again. They're just waiting for you to shut up long enough to go to the next thing. And so attention can be rented. Authority must be earned.
I really, really like that. It's something that I try to tell the younger generations all the time, some of the students, athletes, and people that I work with. Authority is not something you're just given. Just like trust. Right. Trust a lot of the time isn't truly just given. We might have good intentions and want to trust people, but authority and trust and things like that are truly earned through consistent, repeatable actions and just showing up when it's necessary. Now, to dive further into this, how does professional branding become an extension of authenticity rather than self-promotion?
That's a great question. So professional branding is clarity. Personal branding is clarity. When we get into this kind of profession, we get into image management, and image management so we get really crazy because we start to rate ourselves and rate our performance based on that image that we're trying to hold on to. But when we worry about just our personal branding, who Adam is, who Ryan is, these kinds of things, that's where clarity comes in. If I don't know who I am, if you don't know who you are, then all you are managing all day long, and you ebb and flow according to the way the wind blows. And and what people's response are to your message. So you're always grading yourself, second guessing, correcting sometimes on the fly. Personal branding is clarity. Get clarity in place, know who you are, and walk in it, and everything opens up to you.
Hmm. You know, on that note, and I already kind of mentioned consistency a little bit, but I'm curious on your perspective on really what role does consistency play in building trust, especially on a professional level?
Yeah, consistency, being the same thing every time. Now, the difference is not being, if you're real, then be real every single time. That consistency, you don't have to be the most polished presenter. You don't have to have the best speech. You don't have to have the best ability to speak even. Just that people know you're consistent. You say what you mean and you mean what you say and you walk it out. We know that that creates that trust that people believe in you and respect you. But I will also say this, we said authority is not given. Think about the people that become our bosses sometimes. They may have made a promotion and they may have a title that gives them that authority, but people don't respect them. They don't listen to them. They just like nod their head and yeah, whatever. And then they go do their own thing anyway. So sometimes you're in a position of authority that doesn't belong to you. And so we need to be consistent. And that's quiet when you need to be quiet. It's loud when you need to be loud, but be consistent, be the same thing all the time. People need to know that they truly can trust you at any given moment.
You know, I like how you framed that. It kind of brought me into a thought. You know, I feel like authority without trust and respect, it erodes the stability of a team. When someone is given that authority like that, like you said, you know, a title above somebody or whatnot, but they don't yet have that respect and trust from the team, it's going to erode the camaraderie, the complexities of working together efficiently in the team dynamic. So maybe it's not just authority isn't given, it's effective authority has to come with generated respect and trust, right? You can't really have authority that works and lasts without generating those other components. And I think clarity is a big part of that. You know, someone that I was very lucky to interview recently, his name's William. He specializes in helping leaders really develop in a way that serves others. And a big part of how he helped create that type of dynamic is you wield authority like you are serving your family or your kids, right? You take actions based upon their greater interest, their greater need, their greater desires, whatever it is. And through that, yes, you wield authority, but it isn't a blind trust and respect in your judgment because you're looking out for their best interest, right? And with that being said, you know, as a leader, how important is clarity when it comes to being in that position of authority, right? If let's actually play off this a little bit, right? Let's say you were put in a position above others in a company and they didn't know you. They didn't know you from a random guy in the street. How would you create the clarity there that then turns into trust and respect?
Well, first you have to know the goal. You know, what is the target? And then know your limitations and be honest with that. That helps create a team that wants to be there. If you show up and act like you are it, you know it all, and you just start barking orders, that's what people think authority is usually, especially in the workplace. That doesn't have a team. It doesn't create that family feel that I want to come to work every day. I can't wait to be involved in this next project. I can't wait to see the success of our current project. Those kinds of things only happen when the person in place, the authority, understands that, understands the value of people, understands the value of the team, that all of us need to get to the end, not just me, not just my goal for climbing a corporate ladder, so to speak. If I can't take the team with me, then you're not leading. You're pushing from the back and forcing people to go forward. And so learning that that the team matters, and that opinions matter. You don't know everything. I don't know everything. So if I don't let opinions come to the table, then really what am I doing? And so the environment, I want a culture and everything I create where people don't want to leave, you know, and that's hard to do because you still have to get the tasks done. So sometimes you got to be the boss, yes, but learn, if you've earned the respect of your team, they'll go with you.
I love that. And to kind of build on that, I kind of want to do something fun for our audience, something that's going to really drive an understanding of the type of wisdom and experience you bring to the table, right? So going back to the individual side, right? Someone like me as a consultant, right? How does someone like me position themselves as trusted expert without feeling like they're constantly marketing themselves? Is there a subtle, maybe more strategic way to do it that's not so, doesn't feel so sales pitchy?
So I'm actually working on a book that will be released here in another few weeks called The Coffee Meeting Trap. And it kind of deals with this subject of knowing that people are already, especially when you're in a professional, they've met you in a network, I mean, whatever, they're always thinking you're ready to sell. And you gotta be aware of that. And I want people to know that I'm actually interested in you. And so asking the right questions, listening to the answer, because you can ask the right questions just to get through the process, to get to the punchline, that isn't any good. I need to ask the right questions to get a conversation started. And if that conversation needs to extend to another get together, then don't close the deal today. It's not what it's about. But if people feel like all you're doing, you've invited, that's what the coffee meeting trap is about. You invited me for coffee. You know, it's kind of like the people you haven't heard from in a long time. Hey, I'd come by and meet you on Saturday and have some coffee. We haven't seen each other in years, you know. And you're like, oh, great. This is a great friend. And they show up and they got this folder. And before it's over, they're trying to sell you life insurance or whatever. And like, man, you didn't really care. So people got to know you care before they know what you're trying to do.
I really like that. And you brought up some of the nuance to it in the sense of, you know, I think a lot of it is just being intentional and intentionally curious. Be intentional with the way that you show up and not trying to just push who you are, what you do, right? It's just being intentional in the sense of I'm genuinely curious to get to know you, to learn about you, and to build a relationship. I think through relationship building, we kind of take away that necessity of marketing ourselves, selling ourselves, right? Like the networking stuff. You know, you and I, we got a chance to meet through someone we met through networking, but we got to meet in a personal way where we went and had some lunch and just got to chat, got to learn about each other more than what it is we did. And that breeds a great relationship that doesn't require me trying to sell myself to you, right? It's a, man, our missions can align. The things that we want to accomplish can align. And I think there's a lot of power in that. So, you know, before we go to break, if our audience is trying to find you, they want to connect with you, learn more about you, how can they do that? Where can they find you?
Simple. WayneAdamGreer.com. That's, you'll find all of my everything, books, keynotes, the whole agenda. It's all there. You can get in touch with me.
Fantastic. Now, to our audience, real authority is not manufactured. It's earned through trust, consistency, and a message people understand and, well, remember. So after the break, we'll explore resilience, purpose, and how personal adversity can really shape the leader that we become. Welcome back to The Bottom Line. Now, this show, I really like to focus on what drives success. And today's conversation, I'm going to continue on with Wayne Adam Greer. You know, Wayne's professional work is deeply influenced by a remarkable personal journey. As a heart transplant recipient, he understands firsthand what it means to face uncertainty, gain perspective, and choose to live intentionally. This is a perspective that I could only dream that I would have on a regular basis and that a lot of us could experience, because I really believe after meeting Wayne, it can shake up a lot of how you act. Now, you know, some of life's greatest lessons come through experiences we never expected. Those moments often shape not only how we live, but how we lead. So, Wayne, thank you for being here on the show. It's such a pleasure to have you.
Oh, as I've said every time, I love being here. This is great. Love what you do.
Thank you. Thank you. So, to dive right in, as I've kind of introduced our audience to a little bit of that story there, you know, I really want to dig that up a little bit because there's so much power in this story and in this journey. And after I got to meet you, it was very profound and powerful to just listen to you talk about this. So, how did your heart transplant journey change the way you view life and leadership?
First, people have been following along. But wait a minute, heart transplant. How do we go from talking about authority and leadership and clarity to heart transplant? I'm sure it's So yeah, it's the only reason I'm doing all that I do. Life became less about communication, achievement, communication, all those things. It became about significance and making sure that everything I do has significance. And so, before, like many people, I was focused on goals and growth and that achieving, just getting the next thing that on my list and getting it done. And but having it going through this, it'll wake you up. You realize first, how short life really is. We all know that life is short. We say it, but I've been given a second chance. And so that's not, there's songs written about it. Also, we all, yeah, why do we wait, till a tragedy hits? But it is something we should all be aware of, that I have 24 hours every single day, right? So does everyone else. And I've learned now that I need to approach that, do the best I can for my community every 24 hours. And so it's not about me anymore. It's not about the best for me. Oh, get for me, get for my family. It's all that stuff comes with it. But if I can make impact that is significant, that changes lives, that automatically ripples down into my own life and where I'm going. So the heart transplant was the starting point. When I woke up and realized that I'm still here, everything got evaluated. For those who in your audience listening, this July will be my fourth year since the transplant. So all that I do now, everything that you're listening to and hearing about, was all born out of the wake up from the surgery. When I woke up, I'm like, let's do it. I've got a new goal, new focus.
I think this topic is so important and so vital to this conversation because it's a great example of how clarity can develop and how you've put clarity to your own mission and where you find real value. See, one thing that I was blessed to learn early on in life and in my career is listen to those that have been there, that have done that, and lived longer than you. Because the things they say, the experiences they share, the wisdom they want to communicate could circumvent years of trials and tribulations. It could help you avoid a lot of the same problems they've held. And it breaks down to something that I've been kind of working on, and I think you'll attest to this, right? People say knowledge is power. I disagree. I think knowledge without application is merely just information. Applied knowledge becomes experience. Experience tested repeatedly becomes wisdom. Wisdom shared effectively becomes influence. And influence is truly where power lies. But the thing that I see, and I think your story really tells, is anyone can gain knowledge from watching the battle from afar. Experience comes when you step onto the battlefield yourself. Wisdom comes when you've survived enough battles to understand what truly matters.
Yeah.
And influence comes when you can share that experience with others so that they avoid the same scars you had to live through. To me, that's kind of that progression of growth. And from the moment I met you, I could see you kind of embodied that. And to me, it inspires me. It does. And with this being said, I am kind of curious. From this perspective, why do so many people wait for a major life event before reassessing what truly matters?
Well, the simple answer is we always think we got tomorrow. And when we're young, we're invincible. We don't think that death is coming, that the end of life is coming. And so we just don't care. We don't invest really in the future. We invest in the day. And then comes a punch in the gut. Something, life will throw something at you, and it'll cause you, it forces you to reevaluate everything. I had no choice. When I woke up, I realized the value of life. And there's limitations to me physically from that too. So not only did is clarity come in, but realize what I was doing, for a living. I couldn't do that anymore. I still run the business. I have a full service garage door company, and I run that, but I can't work in that anymore physically. So I was forced to. And all I could say to that is, if everyone today would just take a moment, and just say, okay, if today was it, if I knew that I'm going to get to the end of the day, and I know that we there's songs and books and everything wrote, but we really need to do that. If today was really it, this was going to be the last moments I had, what would I do? Write those down and make that your new go-to list. You know, we all have our, here's what we do. This is my goals for the next 5 years. And then you break that down into, you know, quarters and months and all these things. The 5-year plan should start with, if I only had today, what would I do? Then from there, create your plan and get going at it. I don't know why it takes the wake up call, because we'll see a movie, read a book, and, you know, watch a Lifetime special, and we'll cry at the idea. Oh, that was great, man. A guy should have, but we don't do anything with it. We just get right back into our own life and don't think that that might be a moment where that should have triggered some personal evaluation. So, be careful with time, we just don't know. We have no idea what's next. So don't live like it's always going to be there.
That's such a good point. And I've got to echo that a little bit. You don't know what moment is the last. So live it with intention and be clear with what you intend to do. I find that to be profound, yet, you know, we can say it's simple because it is, but it's not easy to actually do. When you're in the midst of chaos and the grind of life and family and business, it's easy to lose track of what truly matters. And it's something I'm working on myself, and I think a lot of our audience is always trying to focus on, but we do fall short. So, you know, with that being said, as someone who's been there, who's done that, who's lived that experience, what advice would you give someone who feels disconnected from the purpose today? Let's say I have no idea what my purpose is. What would be your first step, your first bit of advice on how to get somebody to find that purpose, that thing that fulfills them?
Yeah. Well, first, purpose isn't found. It's recognized. And I want to explain that a little bit. It, you know, I didn't just like wake up from surgery and, okay, I'm going to make some things happen. I recognized the stuff that was living inside of me that I'd just pushed aside. I recognized the things that actually would make me fulfilled in life if I was given this new chance. You know, what would I do? And so these things aren't new. I didn't go to a class. I didn't, you know, study on how to be whatever it is, you know, a clarity strategist. I recognized it was always there. It was dormant. And so it came alive with me. And so many people think purpose just arrives suddenly. It just, boom, all here it is. And I think that it will feel like that when you recognize it all of a sudden. It just, there's all these moments you go, well, there's another piece. There's this. And it gets fast. And it seems like, well, how come I didn't see this before? It's happening really fast. But it's just because you woke up. And once you see it, you can't unsee it. And then it becomes exciting. And you look forward to every day, the discovery of the day. What am I going to discover about the thing I've recognized in me today? And then how do I take that discovery and pass it on?
You know, I love what you said, and I've got to echo this and kind of frame it again. You know, I'm never going to forget how you put this, because this kind of just shifted the way that I think about it. You know, purpose isn't found, it's recognized, right? We all have something. We were born with something. We were gifted with something. You just got to recognize it. And when I think about my own story there, you kind of got me in my head a little bit, which is such a powerful thing to do, because I was introverted. My nickname that was given to me by my brothers was Hermit Crab, because I was just so introverted. I didn't want to be around people. I liked being on my own. And I was very just close to myself. But as I began to walk through life, I found sales jobs and I got out there more. And you know, I always struggled with imposter syndrome. Am I really good enough to do this? Am I really the right guy for it? Am I really qualified? Am I really capable? But it kept turning into, people need something, so I show up. And it just keeps happening and happening and happening. And next thing I know, I realize my purpose, what I found, or not found, but recognized, is I'm really good at helping unique people solve unique problems by understanding the unique gifts that they were given. And through that, I create an impact. And just the way that you put that kind of solidified something for me there. So thank you. That's a, goodness, talk about a powerful thing to end a segment on. But to our audience, you know, often our greatest challenges become the foundation for our greatest impact. We'll take one final break and return to discuss legacy, influence, and what it means to make a meaningful difference. Welcome back to The Bottom Line. Stay connected to The Bottom Line and every Now Media TV favorite, streaming live or on demand throughout the Now Media TV platform. And if you're on the go, you can always find the podcast version right at www.nowmedia.tv. I'm telling you, there's a lot of great resources, a lot of great shows, and tons of wisdom ready to tap into. So, as we conclude today's conversation with Wayne Adam Greer, I want to focus on legacy. Now, this topic is very, very important to me, and I know it's very important to Wayne. You know, in a world obsessed with visibility and attention, Wayne teaches something very different. That meaningful influence comes from helping people understand who they are and how they can serve others more effectively. This is something that I think Wayne and I share very deeply. We are here to serve, and through that, we find our fulfillment. And so, Wayne, it's such a pleasure to have you here. I'm glad to be on this final segment with you. I'm excited to dive into that beautiful brain of yours.
Well, it's still a pleasure to be here, and I'm excited too. This has been a great time together.
I'm glad it's been a good experience so far because I'm absolutely loving this. Now, to really kick this segment off, it's a big question, and it's an important one that I do love to ask to a lot of my guests. What does legacy mean to you?
People over accomplishments. Leaving that mark. You know, we think about legacy. Most people kind of understand it when you're gone, then we look at your life and there's the impact you made. I think legacy matters now, right now. I think we can be building our legacy and leaving that mark. But it starts with people over accomplishments. If I'm just trying to build an empire and, you know, some kind of physical structure, so to speak, that's not legacy. It is how are people being impacted by me? That's the legacy I want. I want my, you know, when people talk about me, to be able to say, man, it was great to know him. And if that can't be done, to know about him isn't legacy. To know him is legacy. So build into that. And I also think that our grandparents, you know, it's been a long time since really every generation would pass down stories. So legacy today, part of that, I think, is we have to tell the stories of, we have to tell them now, we have to share our life with in different ways, different formats, write a book, make legacy films, do something. But legacy is putting people first over my accomplishments and making sure they feel that they benefited by my presence being in their life.
I absolutely love that. And it kind of reminded me of the way I used to think, how I used to think of legacy versus how I think of it now. I used to think of legacy in real just archaic basic numbers, in the sense of how much money and success do I leave behind, in the sense of financial stability and growth for, you know, the people around me. I thought that is what legacy was. But as I've grown and I've kind of become the person that I am today, you know, legacy to me is pretty much exactly what you just said. It's, I want to leave behind an influence, a platform, a structure, a methodology, whatever it is, to help people identify the gifts that they were given, to discuss, were really to recognize that purpose that they have. If my life, the example I set, leads others after me to find that, that to me is legacy. Service to them over service to me.
That's good.
And the way you put it just kind of helped me click that together a little bit better. So thank you for that. But, you know, I'm kind of curious, because what you're talking about and just the approach you have to this is so powerful. You know, how do you want people to remember the work you're doing through the Authority Edge?
Well, I hope that anybody who's come through any of my offerings, there's that when they, if they leave clear and they understand what their life mission is, whether they understand that to be God's gift to them or not, it's not even the issue. But I do believe everybody on this earth has our Creator created them, each and every one of us, with a purpose. And so if people tap into that, even without acknowledging where that comes from, that's not my concern. But they just recognize this, they wake to that thing inside them, they recognize it, and then they live that out. That that is my purpose. That is the point of everything I do. I hope people are better from my presence in their life, not because I was all so awesome, just something I said, something I did, something I exampled, they're better for it. And if I can't do that, not every time you're gonna. Obviously, some people just aren't gonna click with you. But if the overall meetings I have and interactions I have, people leave feeling better about themselves, clearer thinking about their mission, then I've done my job. And that's the legacy I hope to leave behind.
I love that. What would you say, what is the impact that you're seeing when people go through your Clarity Lab and your coaching programs? What are the results that you're actually seeing in real time? How do you see people change and evolve? What does that look like for someone?
Well, they unlock what's already there. And that's the key. That's clarity. That's waking to recognizing what's inside them. If that gets unlocked, and that, we talked about imposter syndrome in the last segment a little bit. Even when you get clear, you still have to battle what your brain says and what your heart says. And if, when we learn to trust that, let our heart come out, that's where the thing lives that was gifted to us. And our brain wants to fight that. There's all kinds of reasons for that. We get educated to fight that. But when people unlock what's there and then embrace it, there's a story from the last Clarity Lab just today, sitting in a meeting, a person really just didn't know how to describe what they do, but there's passion behind it. And we worked it through. And so today, this individual used what was learned last week, and it was, wow, it was different, just freer. She felt confident in what she is about and what she brings to the world. So unlock what's already there. People don't need more information. They just need perspective. They need proper feedback. They need language to that thing that's inside them.
Now, I'm a little bit curious because I know a lot of our audience, there are different stages of life and business and what have you. I know there's a lot of people out there that jump into a career, they get pretty far, and then they come to a place where they realize it's just not fulfilling. It's just not what they hoped it to be. It's just not really sinking in deep. To those people, what advice would you give to them to, when they do, recognize that purpose, what advice could you give them to give them the confidence or whatever it is to just maybe make that leap or go that direction? I know it's a challenging one, but I'm curious what your thoughts are.
Yeah, it's a big challenge. I don't think it gets accomplished the day you discover it because you got a battle here. And so first thing I'd say is embrace it. Give it a definition. Write it out. Here's my mission statement. And look at that often. Refine it often. But then surround yourself an opportunity to do that thing. If you believe it's to help people, well, go volunteer somewhere and help. Go start helping. You got to put it in practice. And you're going to bump your knees. You're going to learn along the way. And you're going to keep fine-tuning it always. And I think that's the other thing that's important is that we are learners and we should never stop learning. So that applies to our own identity, who we are. Learn it. Fine-tune it, not in the sense of being the perfect polished presenter, but understand as best you can that thing lives inside you. I call myself a clarity strategist. I don't know if that's a real term. I don't know if anyone else, if you'll find that in a dictionary, but that was the way I decided to classify myself. I help people find that thing, that recognize what's inside them. And then we can come and continue working that through and come alongside you, but put yourself in places where that thing you've discovered has to be activated.
Mm. I find that to be extremely powerful. And something you said there that I love, about the clarity strategist, it's not just helping you discover or helping you, recognize it. It's walking that path with you. It's let's do this together. Let's see what this looks like. Let's see how we can take this thing that you have recognized and turn it into something that you get to practice on a regular basis. And I find there to be so much value and power in that. That is so easily missed. Now, for our viewers, I know this is such a powerful conversation. Where can they find you? Where can they learn more about your work? How can they attend, Clarity Lab or connect with you directly? Where can they find you?
Well, again, go back to WayneAdamGreer.com. Everything is there. All of my classes and books and everything. Yeah, there you are. You'll find everything. Go through all those tabs and click on them. And there's some free resources. There's lots of good things you're part of. There's I have a Substack, and we have a Authority Edge community. There's lots of ways to be involved. And yeah, call me if you need to. We'll just talk, start there. But yeah, if you click on WayneAdamGreer.com, you will have everything that I hope can help you.
Now I'm going to ask you kind of a bit of a fun one, and this is sometimes hard to do, but you're somebody that you just got so much wisdom and experience. It's incredible. If there's one little piece of advice you want to leave our audience with today, one message, what would it be? If they took one thing away from this conversation, what could you say?
I hope they understand clarity. We've said it how many times, but clarity changes everything. If you're stuck, if you're frustrated in life, all these, whatever's going on, if you aren't clear, you'll never get past it. So clarity changes everything.
I love it. Thank you for summing that up. Now, to our audience, really, I'm going to speak on behalf of our audience when I say this. Thank you, Wayne, for joining us today and sharing really this insight on clarity, communication, leadership, personal branding, and, well, living intentionally. And I think that's such a very important part of this conversation is the intentionality behind not only creating clarity, but just pursuing what it is that you recognize in yourself. Now, at the bottom line, we believe that success is built on more than talent. It's built on trust, consistency, purpose, and the courage to communicate who you are with confidence. Something I like to say, success isn't given, it's earned. And to earn it, you have to become the type of person that deserves it. Now, and as Wayne reminds us, lasting influence isn't created by being louder, it's created by being clear. So again, I'm Ryan Herpin. It's such a pleasure to have you today. Don't miss the next episode of The Bottom Line right on Now Media Television. We'll see you next time.